This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we're messing it up.
Again, and always.
Anyway, joining us, we have...
Hi, I'm Paul Lambertson. I'm the Dean of the College of Engineering and Technology at Grand Canyon University.
And I'm Ben Lambertson, a former competitor at UAS for STEM and a judge this year.
Cool. And I was a former coach and also a judge this year.
Nice. Now, USA for STEM, obviously, we're trying to get kids involved in STEM somehow. Through aviation? Say yes.
Yes.
Big time.
Dahl, tell us about the program.
Unmanned Aerial Systems for STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. And the idea is to really focus in on young kids and get them kind of inspired and excited about all things aviation. It's hosted by AMA, and Ben can give you some really great background.
Yeah, so they've been doing this competition for a whole bunch of years now. Started out fairly small, and about 5 years ago they moved it up here to AirVenture, which was a great decision on their part.
Hold on a second here. You just said the magic word. AMA, that's Academy of Model Aeronautics, right?
Yes, it is.
So we're talking about radio control equipment here. Mm-hmm. Aha, very good.
Well, autonomous would probably be a little bit above the average person's head.
Yeah, so the whole competition kind of surrounds aerial work. So whether you're taking a UAS for photography, classification of targets, surveillance, or what we typically do is then actual drop-offs, deliveries, picking up various things, which you see both military, but also you're starting to see a lot in the commercial sector. So that's kind of what the competition has grown to, and it's all around these drones, basically. So taking equipment off the shelf and turning them into these flying machines and all that hands-on work.
What is the weight class of the drone? Is it a little thing? Is it a 50-pounder?
Kind of in between. So it's about a 2.5-foot kind of diameter, typically, around maybe 10 pounds. We carry a little bit of weight, depending on what sort of payloads we're bringing and dropping off and that sort of thing. But they're not a full heavy lift drone, but it's definitely not your off-the-shelf camera drone from Amazon.
So the payload is an interesting part of it, too, because you'll have some things that will be a hard side bit of weight, like a water bottle. Mm-hmm. You'll have some things that, you know, marshmallow bag.
Right.
Well, that's a whole different kind of pickup that you got to do with that.
Right.
So it's very interesting.
What about a slice of pizza? Have you tried that?
Had those last night at the party for AMA. So, but.
What's the age range of your participants?
Well, people kind of start out, they've grown it quite a bit. So it typically starts around 13 and it goes all the way through typically the end of high school. But they've separated into two different categories, which they started just a few years ago. So they have an advanced kind of competition team, and then they'll have a beginner competition team. And the idea is, you know, you can kind of start out a little bit simpler. It's what the competition used to be with the beginner team. And then the advanced team is they just kind of went all out, and it's much more complicated.
Unlimited.
That's where you're
pick up fire.
Yeah.
Transport it.
And this is an interesting point, because in education, especially in higher education, we really found that to get people inspired in STEM, you need to do it a lot earlier than high school.
I agree.
Starting this out with something so cool, but kind of simple at the 13-year age group, well, that's interesting, right? That's intriguing. Okay, well, what happens when the kids start to get older and bored? Now you have the advanced competition, and it's a lot harder than the beginner competition.
And more fun.
And a lot more
fun. It also keeps people from, you know, the guys who have been doing this for 5 years, you don't want them to take all the positions. And
right.
It gives everybody a bit of a chance to really participate and grow a good bit.
Are you guys expanding the program? If I was a high school and I was interested in something like this, I would contact you?
Yeah, you reach out directly to AMA. Kyle Jarris is the director that kind of is one of the key leaders of this whole overall program. Obviously, you can reach out to me anytime, because I will definitely get people connected. But the goal is to grow it as much as possible, because, again, it's all about STEM outreach. It's the love of aviation. And so one of the things I like to talk about is huge kudos to EAA, right? Allowing, bringing this competition, international championship, here to Oshkosh. This is the fifth year that it's been here. It's amazing. And, I mean, people who come here, they're bit for life.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. And how many times have you had kids, they've been in a drone program, but they're not really attached to aviation directly,
right.
But then they come here and see all this.
Yeah, and it's all different.
Yeah, they get, whoa, you know, totally different attitude now.
The world's largest air show can be kind of inspiring when you show up for the first time, I'll say that.
For the first time, it's intimidating. Yeah.
I was going to say, what kind of sponsors do you guys have for this program?
So there are a host of sponsors. I can talk a little bit about Skydio and AMA. Skydio, obviously a big drone company, but the idea is GCU, right, Grand Canyon University. We bring in a lot of volunteers. Obviously, that's how all this stuff works, right? Air Ventures all volunteer led as well. And so we're trying to bring that type of power, if you will, into this engine. So there are some other sponsors beyond Skydio. I don't remember exactly who all of them are.
They're not on the shirt.
Nope.
Typically, the teams themselves will kind of have various sponsors. Mm. It's not necessarily, you know, UA is for STEM is mostly Skydio, EAA, AMA. Those are kind of the big heads that help run and put together everything.
Ben brings up a good point, though. Corporate philanthropy. So one of the things, I used to work for the Boeing company before, and one of the things that Boeing did was they had a philanthropic match. So all the hours that we would donate, if you will, our time going into Civil Air Patrol, which led to this whole competition, Boeing would match at a certain amount. That allows a much greater outreach and a much bigger funding. And most of your corporate entities do that.
Do you guys take the whole approach where the team's got to solicit sponsorship dollars, and then you've got people that work the financial side of the team and acquisition of parts, or you're not there yet?
We didn't really have to do that because on our team, the Redstone corporate Redstone Composite Squadron, sorry, out of Huntsville, Alabama, we didn't have to do that because we had a number of our team members and coaches who were Boeing employees. And so there was a great sponsorship just there.
That's great. That's great. How many teams typically compete?
It depends. A couple years ago, we had 40 teams, and what comes to the national championship are 6 for the beginner and 6 for the advanced. I don't know what the team complement is for this year, the total across the country.
But it's growing.
It's definitely, growing. When we started, it was, I think, 12 teams, so yeah. It's definitely growing quite a bit.
And everybody's standing around going, what do we do? How does this work?
Well, you know, one of the other things is, do they win a cool prize if they manage to be first place?
Yes, so Skydio, being one of the big partners with UAS for STEM, will typically donate some form of their drone equipment, and then they usually have a large cash prize as well for the podium.
Do they get a trophy too, by any chance? They're great dust collectors.
Nice. Go ahead.
Real quick, one of the cool things about the winning the championship, right, the top three, well, they bring all the teams out to Show Center for the Wednesday air show. And so one of the exciting things, every team that comes out here gets to experience Oshkosh right in the heat of the battle. I mean, yep. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's got to leave an impact.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot of robotic competitions, do you force them to rebuild the drone every year, or can they iterate off the old drone?
Usually it's an iteration of the old drone, which is why having a kind of beginner team as a starting point is really helpful, because that same drone can then be used for the advanced team. So you put in all this work to develop the drone the first year, you learn how to compete in the beginner kind of category, you're learning your waypoint missions and things like that. Then when you expand to the advanced team, you can take your platform that you already know flies well, and then you can add in all of your extra software and hardware to actually accomplish the mission. So, and each year they're changing up the rules, so they're adding more complicated things, and it forces some iteration upon that. But that's why they've gone to those two different categories, is it really allows people to spread out the cost over multiple years versus overload it on the first year.
And it's a great systems engineering, basically spread through the whole thing from requirements through development to actually design and build and test and then go compete.
Now, do you guys give out prizes for the most unusual solution, the most, you know, the going down in flames trophy, that kind of stuff?
I wish. We had a really great idea one year doing a mouse trap as kind of the way to pick up stuff.
Yeah.
And that was definitely creative, but no, we didn't get any special awards.
In fact, they wrote it, and they specifically addressed it in the rules the next year that you couldn't use the mouse glue trap, which was his idea, which was just this amazing innovation.
Yeah, right. I mean, you just all you got to do is touch it, the way you go.
Touch it, lift it, and then release sit, come back, reload, and off you go. And so they wrote in the rules, you can't do that anymore.
No more debris in the playing field.
Yeah, because all of them got stuck to the
playing field. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Now, when you're talking about they're designing and building their own drones and everything, they're using off-the-shelf components. Yep. All right, they're not actually designing their own electronics or anything like that. Oh boy.
Well, it's defense. Again, yes and no. A combination of things. So a lot of the technology is built on FPV equipment, first person view. A lot of that is from the Drone Racing League.
Right.
And these are major corporations that are developing the hardware. I mean,
and Pixhawk controllers.
Yes, 100%. And but then usually within the team, especially for the advanced teams, when you're developing some custom solutions like that, there's nothing off the shelf that can support it. So a lot of additive manufacturing, 3D printing, that's big.
Yep.
And taking microcontrollers or Raspberry Pis, things like this, small computers we can put on the drone, and kind of building our own proto boards and things like that is really big. So usually the drone itself is a lot of off-the-shelf hardware, but everything you expand beyond that, it's all new.
Yeah, the intelligence is all yours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I could do a shout-out just before we end on this. So Civil Air Patrol, huge shout-out to them. Grand Canyon University, obviously EAA, AMA, Skydio for all the work they do, and Boeing for the support, and the other corporations who do their support as well. Just wanted to make sure we get that in there.
No. We need to encourage kids to get involved in technology.
Absolutely.
Because I want a new cell phone, you know, and you guys got to design it.
Yeah, I was going to say, the beat goes on, and without the involvement of the youth, nothing happens in the future.
Are you getting a great response from the youth?
I think so.
100%. Yeah. I mean, people come in, the two categories. They come in, they don't know anything about UAS, and by the time they leave, they have a potential career, and it's huge.
All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.